This is David Ellis, editor of Health Futures Digest. We digest so you don't get indigestion from the deluge of developments in health and medicine. Our topic this issue is imaging. Over the past two decades, we've seen an exponential increase in the number of slices a CT scanner can scan in a single rotation of the gantry, and in the strength of the magnets used in MRI scanners. These gold standard imaging technologies have given us increasingly better anatomical and functional imagery, but the ones approved for clinical use provide only millimeter level resolution and may be approaching their limits in that respect. The next generation of clinical imaging will probably not be a 512 slice or a 1024 slice CT, nor even an available 9.4 Tesla MRI, which is far too expensive and anyway is not approved for human clinical use. The next generation of imaging will be molecular. Today we image the haystack of the human body with CT, PET, MRI, ultrasound and so on to see what's inside. It's a discovery process. With a new imaging technique able to detect a single cancerous cell that has broken free from a tumor and is traveling through the bloodstream, we can ignore the haystack and directly locate and image a needle we have good reason to believe is inside. It's a confirmation process. The advanced light source at the U.S. Department of Energy's Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory is also not the kind of technology a hospital budget could afford, but one day the cost and size will come down, and when it does, we'll be able to make high-resolution images with features as small as 11 nanometers of whole cells. We could do it now, but it requires heroic experimental effort. The electron microscope can achieve similar resolution, but it requires very thin samples, a few hundred nanometers or less, so it cannot be used to look through a whole cell. Even though MRI and CT may never be able to compete with such technologies in terms of molecular resolution, there remain other important ways in which they do advance in speed, in accuracy, and in cost, for example. Early last year, British researchers boosted MRI sensitivity 1,000-fold. That could lead to faster, more accurate, and cheaper diagnosis, and the ability to use MRI for medical conditions currently undetectable by MRI. Clinical testing of that technology is expected within 5 years, following animal testing. Another way for MRI to remain competitive is to enhance its capabilities, such as improving its ability to image and measure blood flow in the heart. PC Viper, and wait for it, that stands for Phase Contrast Vastly Undersampled Isotropic Projection Reconstruction. You must be sorry you asked. PC Viper offers just that, a new and still experimental way to take 3D video and measure blood flows and flow direction in the heart and major arteries. But if and when clinical trials are successfully completed in an anticipated 3 to 4 years, doctors will have an unprecedented window into the heart. In contrast to the current method of measuring blood flows, which takes between 45 to 90 minutes in the MRI, and may require general anesthesia for younger patients, the new method takes 10 minutes in the MRI with no breath holding, no contrast agent, or except in rare cases, no anesthesia. A capability of MRI that was until recently used mainly in research is figuring out how the brain works. The technique, known as functional magnetic resonance imaging, or fMRI, has not hitherto been used in clinical medicine for the individual patient, but now using a new approach based on earlier fMRI work that mapped how the brain evolves as children age, fMRI can not only diagnose but also prognose brain disorders in individual patients. In a study, the new method was able to determine whether a child at risk for autism would actually develop the disorder, and what treatments might work best for that individual. Incidentally, it could also predict an individual's age from just a 5-minute session in the MRI. fMRI has also been used to communicate with a patient diagnosed to be in a vegetative state. The patient, who had been in this state for several months following a car accident when the fMRI experiment was tried, was able to correctly answer a series of yes or no questions posed verbally and answered in the patient's head. fMRI was able to interpret the changes in neural connection patterns when the questions were asked. Subsequent research has shown that the case was not a fluke, and that fMRI can indeed be used, albeit at considerable expense and with considerable difficulty, to communicate with patients whose condition is caused by trauma rather than by oxygen deprivation. Despite such advances in the gold standard imaging modalities, ultrasound remains a strong contender as a key imaging technology. Early last year, a prototype 3D ultrasound helmet provided real-time images of major blood vessels, including the direction of blood flow in the brain. The helmet could be used on stroke victims to quickly determine whether the stroke was caused by bleeding or by clot. If the latter, then, assuming other criteria are met, the patient might safely be given the life-saving drug tPA. Currently, suspected stroke patients are sent for a CT or MRI scan, which is time-consuming at a time when time is of the essence. It takes an average of 4 hours for a potential stroke patient to receive a CT scan. The brain helmet can be completed in 15 to 30 minutes. Ultrasound has therapeutic as well as imaging and diagnostic abilities. High-intensity focused ultrasound, or HIFU, and lithotripsy have been around for several years and have been used to destroy precancerous growths and kidney stones. A potential improvement on these technologies is a new acoustic lens made of a meta material. The intensity of the ultrasound can be adjusted to a level low enough to image without causing damage. Another acoustic metamaterial cloaks sound in the way that Harry Potter's cloak of invisibility cloaks light. It represents a significant step toward creating higher resolution ultrasound images, not to mention acoustic cloaks to hide submarines from sonar by channeling the sonar's pings around the submarine to the other side, so the ping is never returned to the detector. In ultrasound imaging, the metamaterial should provide a sharper image, although actual applications are a ways off, as one of the researchers put it. What about CT? If we have just about reached the limits with regard to the number of slices, how else might CT advance? As with MRI, the answer is by working faster, and in CT's case, by delivering a lower radiation dose. An X-ray machine using carbon nanotubes is faster, produces sharper images, and could increase the accuracy of radiotherapy, so it doesn't harm normal tissue. Instead of the single tungsten emitter used in a conventional X-ray machine, this one has an array of vertical carbon nanotubes that serve as hundreds of tiny electron guns. Tungsten takes time to warm up, whereas the nanotubes take no time at all. A CT scanner that used the new X-ray technology would be able to take many more images at nearly twice the resolution of existing scanners, allowing real-time imaging that would be a boon for cancer treatment. It would make it possible to take 3D images during radiotherapy sessions, so the effect of the radiotherapy could be monitored and controlled in real time. Clinical tests are underway of this technology in preparation for FDA clearance, so that's going to be out fairly soon. Meanwhile, the technology is already being used in biomedical research on laboratory animals. A flat panel X-ray source that uses an array of pyroelectric crystal electron emitters rather than a single tungsten source is also under development. It could lead to a briefcase-sized X-ray machine powered by a laptop battery. Because each element of the array is controllable, the radiation dose can be more precisely delivered and possibly lowered. A full-scale prototype of this could be ready in early 2011, though that puts it considerably behind the carbon nanotube technology described above. The pyroelectric crystal technology has the advantage that the panels can be made in volume using methods already employed in the microchip industry. Those are the developments we managed to string together with a certain coherency, we hope. The written version, available at hfd.dmc.org, offers three more. A video camera that captures cellular activity, an advance in brain tumor imaging, and an advance in holographic imaging. So please visit the website and read the online issue for all of that detail. Until next time, Associate Editor Julian Bond and I wish you all the best, and remember, we digest so you don't get indigestion.